Daily news, breaking updates, and exclusive podcasts. iTricks.com.
Hello and welcome everybody to the Magic Week in Review, bringing you news, rumor, and culture reports from the front lines of the magic industry. I'm Justin Robert Young, editor of iTricks.com, and in this August 22nd, 2010 edition of the program, well, I'll tell you what, if you're not a fan of television magic, then you're probably not going to want to listen. We have more to talk about with America's Got Talent as we get in to the big Tuesday show featuring Antonio Restivo and Dan Sperry, two of course, four magicians performing in the semifinals, as well as the currently airing season of Mind Freak will also be discussed because we have another one of the creative team with us. He is not only a fantastic creative mind and a very experienced person in terms of television magic all around, but is also a great performer in his own right. Ladies and gentlemen, let me welcome to the program Joe Monti.
Oh, hi there, Justin, and I love you. I want you to be my PR guy. It sounds way too good.
Well, you see, that's why I have people on the show, so they can just record me doing the intros, and they can just include that in their demo, right?
Well, do you get a residual each time that they use it in a show or
no,
on TV?
No, you want to know what? I'm like Johnny Appleseed. I'm just throwing them around. I'm just hoping everything grows. Yeah.
Spreading your seed.
Exactly. Spreading my seed all over the magic industry. Ding dong.
I'm going to keep this PG because I can go with another Johnny who spreads his seed in the porn industry, but we won't do that.
Sure. You want to know what? I think that's a good, that's a prudent move, Mr. Joe Monti. Yeah. All right, before we get into everything, I want to remind everybody that TrickShotMagic.com is where you're going to buy all of your new and old magic items. Listen, new releases, the old classics that you might have misplaced or lost or have gotten torn down because of use, anything, head on down to TrickShotMagic.com and talk to Sam Blankenship. He's a friend of the show. He loves to support new media stuff, and this podcast in particular, iTricks has a site. So do me a favor and just check them out. If you have not been there, maybe you've heard me talk about them on the podcast. You're like, Justin, why on earth would I want to go there when I can just go to any other magic site? Well, here's the reason why. The live chat feature. You could have an idea of what you may want in your show. All you got to do is head on over there to Sam's site, Trickshot Magic, and there's going to be somebody live to talk to you about what to buy, what's good, and they're not going to try and force you into stuff. They're very, very even keel and honest. Don't take my word for it. Head on over. TrickShotMagic.com. It's the real brick-and-mortar experience brought to the internet one click at a time. All right now, Joe, for those of people who don't know, they might be familiar with you already in all the Mind Freak promos because you're all over them.
Well, you know, Sam, I would hope that people know me because I've been doing this for about 30 years.
Yes.
And they've seen me.
Well, we have a lot of young kids though that read the site and listen to the podcast. So speak to them as the people who wouldn't know you, not the old people. Of course.
Okay. Well, you know, so I've got to voice something that I think is just, it's just something that needs to be voiced regardless of who loves or hates Chris.
Sure.
Number one, I don't want this podcast to be about Chris. This is not why I think we're talking today.
No.
But I'm bleeding from the mind right now. I just want to just throw stuff out there because I've seen a lot of great stuff on TV and a lot of horrible stuff on TV.
Yes.
And love it or hate it, I'm happy that Magic, period, is on TV.
Yes.
Now, you know, for the average person, let's face it, the average person enjoys magic, you know, in general. And they do perceive Chris and David Blaine as the two people who bring magic to TV. Nobody else. And I've seen probably 15 or 20 guys who have done TV specials. Nobody else here in the States is really that well known. Unless you're a magician, then of course you can start mentioning tons of people who've been on TV.
Yeah.
But bottom line is, people in general, you know, the masses, they do recognize the name Angel and still Blaine, even though I think David has kind of faltered a little bit. He's still a cool dude, and I think people still remember his special.
I would throw Penn and Teller in that mix, but I think your point is clear.
Well, I don't think people perceive Penn and Teller as magicians, though. I think that the general public perceives, because I think Penn and Teller is the best act out there.
Yeah.
But I think they're perceived more as social social, satirical guys who happen to do magic. I mean, with their show, which I love,
yeah,
you know, the Showtime specials, I think people see them more like that because, you know, Penn is quite the boisterous fellow. Teller is the silent comic. And at no point do you hear the name magic in any of that. They just happen to do pretty cool things. And I'm glad that that's who they are because magicians in general, if you say comedy magic to someone, and I've been going through this for years, they just don't get it. The average person, when you say comedy magic, it's still difficult for them to perceive it as a Penn and Teller or as a, I can mention a bazillion guys that we know that few do.
Sure.
But, like Chris Hart, I saw last night at the Magic Castle.
Yeah.
And despite the 12 minutes that he's always been doing, he added some comedy in there, which I thought was quite well done. But nobody thinks of Chris as a comedy magician. And I wouldn't be able to sell Chris as a comedy magician, but yet he still did comedy magic. So I think it's still a bit confusing.
You know? So you were saying that love him or hate him, when you think about magic in the public eye, Chris comes up.
Absolutely. And why? Number one, sixth season. That's a lot of magic.
Yes.
And bottom line is more hours than any other magician on TV. Hey, I wish I had a fraction of those hours for myself.
Yeah.
You know, the stuff that I happen to be the magic producer, which basically means that I'm responsible for all the magic you see on TV as far as how it should be shot, et cetera. Although
yes.
Chris is the final word. Chris is a smart guy. And a lot of people don't give him credit for it. A lot of magicians don't. I'll give you a case in point.
Okay.
In discussions, we were talking about the Luxor and how to get to the top of the Luxor.
Sure.
I had certain ideas on how I wanted him to get to the top of the Luxor. He decided he wanted to walk up the side of the Luxor. I wasn't a fan of it. I thought, well, no, there are, you know, other ways that we sat and discussed, which I don't want to discuss now because, I don't want to violate my NDA.
Sure.
He said, no, I want to walk up. I was against it. He was for it. And after watching it, I thought it was damn impressive.
Yeah.
I've seen him walk up buildings. Okay. But the Luxor, the angle, the way they shot it, with a helicopter and the nighttime and him wearing white up against a black pyramid, it looked damn freaking good. And
yeah.
I got to hand it to him. I say, yeah, I didn't visualize that. You did. Better man than I when it came to that effect. So
sure.
There's certain things he does that, you know, that I think are pretty clever. And the reason he's popular, I think, is because whether he disappoints some, he doesn't disappoint a lot, and they watch the show. And you know, season 5 got some good ratings, and hopefully season 6 will get good ratings or better. It's a guy who's on TV delivering, and I just think, period, that's a good thing. And you know, last night again at the Magic Castle, I'm not going to mention the person's name, but I will give you his initials, Chipper Lowell. And you know, he had some like Chris Angel bashing jokes and all that, and yeah, we laugh because we're at the Magic Castle, you know. And
yeah,
this is
during the act.
During the act,
okay.
And it's just tired. It's the same old. You know, I've heard comics doing it. You know, in Vegas, it's just tired. Move on. You know, move on. It's just hack. It's like doing Jim, who's the evangelist who screwed up by sleeping with this other woman and his wife had the big eyelashes.
Tammy Faye Baker
it's like doing Tammy Faye Baker jokes.
And that's a reach for me, and I'm like 27.
Yeah, but I'm just saying, even though Chris is still popular, it's just the jokes are so dumb.
Yeah, well, I know, and you can objectively say, listen, it's tired, and it's hack, and it's not creative. But at the same time, if we're really going to start getting upset about magicians making tired, hack, and uncreative jokes, then isn't that a losing battle?
Yeah, well, it is, yes, I agree, but I can't fault every magician, because some magicians are actors playing the part of a magician on stage, And they just, they went to a lecture. They saw the lecture, loved what the guy did in the lecture, and then decided to do it exactly like that and keep it like that.
Sure.
And shame on them for not taking it anywhere. Yeah, there's a market for it. But, you know, if you want to fly, you got to take chances and start doing stuff that maybe initially doesn't get the big laughs or the big response. And it will in time. It just, it's you, you the individual who's different than everybody else.
All right.
And just a big, it's like, you know, AGT, America's Got Talent.
Yes, yes. Well, you know, actually, hold on for a second, because we will get into America's Got Talent. Yeah. Right after this, I do have to bring everybody one more sponsor. It's a Paul Romani's Linking Hearts, a linking heart ring routine that offers more possibilities than any other close-up linking ring routine on the market. Romani has created one of the most commercial routines for magicians to perform close-up, walk-around, or street magic. The rings are specifically designed and crafted using high-quality 5-inch metal and plated 3 times to make them durable enough for the toughest working conditions. They are perfect size to fit in your pocket, making them one of the most commercial routines for magicians today. The performance possibilities are endless. You're going to get the 4 5-inch heart-shaped rings, and as a bonus, access to Romani's one-string, one-ring routine, heart string. By the way, here's a giveaway for iTrix readers and listeners. If you go ahead and head on over to extrememagicmakeover.com and sign up for Paul's new newsletter, you could be one of 3 lucky winners who will receive the set of linking heart rings. The draw will happen as soon as the first day of the international release, which is coming up sooner than you'd think. So do me a favor, head on over to extrememagicmakeover.com, sign up for his newsletter, and you could have a chance to win this for free. Otherwise, the pre-order is going on now. It's the same website, extrememagicmakeover.com. Pick up Paul Romani's Linking Hearts today, or at least pre-order it, because they look pretty cool. Now,
Nate, you just said it there, Justin.
Yeah.
It's that linking heart, you know, with the rings. Paul decided to just take it another level, take it to another level. And, you know, you see guys doing the linking rings, and I used to do it on the streets in New York, and I love the linking rings. There is a place for it. But guess what? If there's 2 magicians on the bill, or there's 2 magicians strolling, and one guy is doing the linking rings, and the next guy comes up and says, talks about relationships and people being together and linking, I'm telling you, people are going to enjoy that more. They're going to remember that more. That a guy took hearts, and there was a bit of heart, pardon the pun here, to it, and he linked them together. I love seeing that. So more power to Paul. I hope he sells a boatload of those, because no matter how many he sells, there's still not going to be enough people in America who will be seeing it enough compared to people who've seen the rings more than they should have.
Absolutely. Absolutely, without question. Yeah. So everybody head over and pre-order that. Now, you know, I'm waiting. And we haven't gotten it yet, but I am waiting for us to get a little bit of backlash on how much we've covered America's Got Talent. And I do apologize that people are burnt out by it. But
okay, now I'm going to give you a slightly different angle on it, but continue on.
Okay, yeah. Well, let me just say that it's very, very hard for me as somebody who covers magic every single day for the site and does 2 podcasts a week and, you know, tries to organize the live shows and everything, that when something as big as this, with consequences as great as these, and with participation from names which we've covered on the site, you know, so heavy, for me to not, it's very, very hard to not talk about it constantly. Now, Joe, you texted messaged me yesterday and said that you have some comments on America's Got Talent. So I apologize to people because I know that as soon as the show goes on this week, we're going to have our regular a recap show, which is taking over the Magic Stars podcast afterwards. So I apologize to people who are like, well, I've come here as a refuge for America's Got Talent talk. But I'm sorry. I'm taking it away this week. And we're going to talk about it a little bit more. Joe, You were chomping at the bit to get your opinion out on America's Got Talent, okay. So let's go.
All right. Number one, I've been asked to audition in the past for America's Got Talent.
Yes.
I turned it down.
Yes.
Not as a comedy magician, but as like a, you know, I do physical comedy that I use magic in, but it doesn't come off that way. It's just like an homage to the old-time vaudevillians.
Sure.
So I was asked 1 year to come on down. I said, yeah, I'll do it. I didn't show up because I was busy doing other things. I get a call from the producer himself, you know, the main dude, and he said, hey, how come you didn't show up? This was about 9 months later. How come you didn't show up? I said, I was just busy with, I think I was maybe working on the first season, like which was fourth season for me, as magic producer on Chris's show. And he said, please come on down. We love what you do, et cetera, et cetera. Now, look, I've been involved in reality shows. I came in second place to $1 million on American Inventor, which was a ratings hit for ABC about 4 years ago. So I knew the whole twist and turns of what these shows do. They create villains and heroes and idiots and clowns and geniuses. They've got to do that. Like any great novel, the great screenplay tome, The Poetics, you've got to create characters. And Simon Cowell, who owned American Inventor, created American Inventor for here.
Yep.
And again, it was a ratings hit, 14 million people watching every week. He did America's Got Talent. He wanted to get involved in something beyond Idol, which he didn't own. Simon Fuller owns that. But he knows, he looks at all the footage, he looks at all the people, and he decides to craft a show out of it. Otherwise, the whole show would be Singers. Because bottom line is, it's great. Magicians can do shows in Vegas. They always have. But Singers tend to capture the hearts, especially like that little 12-year-old girl who sang the opera thing, who to me is a minor bird. Okay.
Yes.
It's great. She can sing. It's beautiful. But I've seen autistic savants, do the exact same thing. And proof of the pudding is there was a kid on from Korea who sang Whitney Houston's The kid sang it beautifully.
Yeah.
Just as that girl sang it beautifully. They're minor birds. Okay. But the show America's Got Talent, I auditioned. They loved what I did. I was in front of David Hasselhoff, Piers, and Sharon. But they said, it's not $1 million act.
Okay. Yes.
No problem. I just did it because they pushed me into it. And I love the experience.
Sure.
What they're doing on America's Got Talent now, look at it from this angle.
Okay.
I know the first thing people say is, they just want to get you on the show to ridicule you. Well, no, they're not trying to get you on the show to ridicule you. The judges are confused as to who should move forward. It's supposed to be a 90-minute show in Vegas, okay?
Yeah.
Forget the goofy dancers, the break dancers. They're not going to be able to do a 90-minute show, okay? They're just not going to. Ventriloquist Terry Fader,
yes,
was very fortunate. I'm not sure if you are privy to this, but he happened to the paperwork they had for the season Terry was on. Fortunately, he wasn't bound to Fremantle, who owns the whole thing.
Yes.
So when he started getting popular, people approached him, and he's been doing a show for years. They approached him and said, "Hey, would you do a show at this casino?" He said, "Yes." Well, guess what? Lucky him, he was able to sign a deal without any connection at all to the people who owned America's Got Talent.
And he was the last person to do that. Well,
yeah, the last person. Now, shame on them, because even long before Terry was even doing that show, they've had these contracts, these 40-page things that you sign that basically sign your life away. So whoever dropped the ball on that, fire them. Because believe me, if I owned the show, I'd want to own Terry Fader on some level as well. It's just business.
Yes.
But what they're doing now is this. I know every one of the contestants very well. They're lovely people. Dan Sperry, I was very impressed with. In the past, I've said that Dan wears way too much makeup and there's no direction and it's too confusing and it's goofy as hell. But watching that he used less makeup, used his eyes more, he did stuff I've seen him do in the past, but so much better, and it fit so much more, and the music fit beautifully. Bravo. Wow. He has grown. I now accept this crazy maniac, Marilyn Manson and half, Jason Byrne and part this and part that. He's made it work.
Sure.
Okay. We've all got influences, man. Let's face it, we've all got influences.
Of course.
But Dan Sperry did it right. Antonio Restivo, damn, he's a wonderful guy. Did you ever meet Antonio?
I've spoken with him. I've spoken with him briefly, yeah.
Great guy. Sweetheart of a guy.
Yes.
He is the fire god.
Yes.
And, you know, he does, you know, with the fire, this and that. And he's, but as a magician, you know, he's really got to be careful now, because on America's Got Talent, you know, they put you in a position where you've got to do better and bigger and better. And unfortunately, they don't mean to put you in a position where now they got to ridicule you. But Antonio might be moving to that point where they're going to go, oh, it's just magic now with fire. You know, they don't know. These three judges don't have a freaking clue.
Yes.
You know, they, you know,
although I will say, a gigantic fireball is something harder to sort of laugh off. You know, it's not like where Drew Thomas last season kept doing big appearances.
Right.
And eventually they're able to say, well, okay, you know, you're going to move a big curtain and somebody's going to be under it or something's going to be right. gone. You know, yeah, when there's a big fireball in front of your face, that might be a little bit harder to laugh off.
Yeah, but it's not a matter of laughing it off. It's a matter of them being anesthetized to that much. You know, look, if you've seen six performances and all it's been is fire, 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 fire with some illusions in the background, you know, if you're an intelligent person, you can't help but say, well, what else do you got? You know, and...
Understood. But at the same time, you know, how in a season that has been very, very big illusion heavy by comparison between Antonio Restivo and Murray Sawchuk, I think it's telling that Michael Grasso was able to walk on stage, do a spiker illusion, which, you know, is another way of having an impossible space produce people. And everybody loved it. Yeah, you know,
well, here's now the other side. Obviously, they've brought back, you know, and pushed through, even though it was people's choice. Believe me, it's not people's choice. There's ways of manipulating that to the utmost. I think we all know that we're not dumb, you know, of saying, okay, in these two categories, who got the most votes? Believe me, they know who they're pushing through.
Yes.
And Antonio and Dan, they want to pair off against each other. And Murray, who's another great guy and a wonderful magician, and Michael Grasso, they're pairing off because they're the more clean-cut version of it all.
Yeah.
You know, they all do a great job. Now, Michael is more of a guy who's a great close-up guy, wonderful manipulator who happens to be doing illusions.
Yes, because he did close-up and got kicked off.
Right. So, which is another thing. It's like you could make close-up a huge illusion. You know, it's just that they're just not that bright. They're just not that savvy to what can work on stage and what can't work. So I love all the magic.
Yeah.
I think what they're doing is cool because, again, it's magic on TV regardless. You know, I was not a big fan of Hans Klock. You know, he just a lot of crazy European running around and goofy shit. And he did a thing on YouTube where like 10 illusions or in 5 minutes or something or 15 illusions. And, you know, one of them was that thing where he produced the two girls. Look, I can buy that illusion. I can go on stage. I can do that illusion. It's come on, ultimately what you bring to it, right?
Yeah.
And it's bottom line is this.
People like Hans Klock, though, you know. And
I you know something? Well, men like Hans Klock.
well, and Hans Klock might reciprocate.
Yeah, but here's the thing. For me, as you know, you say people like Hans Klock. Yeah, really? I mean, the show just, you know, was, you know, did so lukewarm in Vegas because it looked like one half of Siegfried and Roy running around, and man, he ran around.
Well, that's his bit, though. You know, he's the fastest illusionist ever.
Yeah, but you know, it's like going to the Philippines and going into a discotheque there, and they're still playing 70s music because they think it's hip.
Yes.
You know, watching Hans Klock run around on stage, I swear, I feel like I'm watching the Sonny and Cher show, and they're like, ladies and gentlemen, the world's newest illusionist. And then Hans comes out, and, you know, it's just goofy as hell to me.
Yeah, I mean, but that is not an original sin to Hans Klock in Vegas. I mean, there are shows where you walk into, and I'm sure we don't really need to name names, but they look dated as heck.
Yeah, I know.
That are playing now and have played for years.
Yeah, I got to pick on Hans Klock, though, because somebody needs to be picked on. You know, people can pick on me all they want. It's okay, and I'm okay with that.
All right, but let's get back to America's Got Talent. So, I mean, do you think that this is a net positive for these people? Or are they setting themselves up for failures or any way that they can come out
Okay, it's business.
Less than at the end of it?
Here's what's going to happen. It's business.
Yes.
Because by the end of it, whether they say to, and again, these are all fantastic, wonderful people, and they do a good job on stage. Bottom line is this. Ultimately, you want to use what the footage from America's Got Talent as promo video. So
yes.
Even if you got triple X, you're never going to put that on a promo reel.
Yeah.
So even if at the very end they say, we hate you, Antonio, we hate you, Michael Grasso, we hate you, Dan Sperry, we like you, Murray Sawchuk. Nobody's going to, in a year from now, nobody's going to remember that stuff. Yeah, it would be great to win, and that would be a great thing to have on a reel. But if you don't win, you still got some great footage that you can edit to make yourself look like a god.
Sure.
You know, it's good to have it on. It's good to have magic up there. The unfortunate thing, which I'm not a big fan of, is that the producers, and again, I know some of the producers. As a matter of fact, when Chris was on America's Got Talent, he did his spot, which I thought was well done. He did his spot on America's Got Talent this past week. When I went in there, you know, I'm talking to the producers like they know me because they've seen me in the past and we've spoken on it. Now they're looking at me in a slightly different eye because I was working with Chris on the show.
Yeah.
And not just a clown who's coming up. And I know how their minds think, and it's business. Okay. They got this little girl, and here's my only pet peeve. They got a little girl who they give all the FaceTime to in the commercials, and they laud over, if that's the right word.
Yes. And law is fine.
Yeah, that little minor bird she ain't gonna be able to do a 90-minute Las Vegas show. Come on, yeah. Man. You know, they
But can she bring the ratings for the finale? I think probably, right?
Yeah, but so can an abortion on stage bring ratings.
Oh, all right. Come on.
No, I mean really. I mean she's a minor bird. You know,
I understand. So, but what's your point that they're making the wrong choice?
My point is that the person who's not going to be able to do a Las Vegas show might win this because the producers are making a goddess out of her and not paying. As I think we all know, you know, magic is to them it's a carnival art to them.
True. But at the same time, how can you say that they are not paying enough attention when they are paying more attention than they ever have to magic?
Oh, no. Oh, don't misread what I'm saying.
Okay.
As I've said earlier in this podcast, yeah, I love it that it's magic on TV.
Yes.
It's fantastic. It's obvious.
Well, yeah, but beyond the general, if we are to take it from the point of view of America's Got Talent as a set of producers and an organization and a machine, that
yes.
Their goal is to put together the best finale that pulls in the best ratings, and to put together subsequently, because they do own all these subsidiary productions, put together the best Las Vegas show for whatever their short run there is, and they're doing the traveling tour. Now,
yeah,
so they want, Now, I think it would almost be hard to say that they don't want at least, and will try and engineer at least one magician on the tour or on the Vegas thing, if not two.
Well, that's what they're doing now. They're pitting, you know, the weird magic acts against the not so weird magic acts, which I like.
Actually, no. They're pitting the weird ones against the weird ones.
Yeah,
Antonio and Sperry.
Yeah, that's what I meant. I'm sorry.
Yeah,
I meant Dan against Antonio, as I said earlier, and Murray against Michael Grasso.
Yes,
and I think that's fantastic. I personally think if they really, really want America's Got Talent to have some heart, the judges have got to have a sit-down talk with the producers, and the producers have got to say, look, ultimately, this comes down to we want somebody to have a Las Vegas show so that next year we can say this person has a Las Vegas show, all right?
Yes.
A chicken farmer from last year that doesn't have a Las Vegas show, it's embarrassing. No. But yeah, Murray or an Antonio or Michael or a Dan, it would be great to say, look, like a Terry Fader, they've got a Las Vegas show. And then America's Got Talent will continue to have respect because they did their job, and not just the quick fix thing of, oh, look at this minor bird, you know, who had to sing really good, and then she's gone and forever, you know. I love it that they've got magic on them. My God, I think it's fantastic. And ultimately, I would love to see one of these guys have a new show that gives everybody who's watching TV and or goes to Vegas another magician who happens to be taking it to a different level. You know, I would love to see that. And I think all of them have the capability. You know, Michael, I love Michael, but Michael is not an illusionist. He just happens to be doing illusions. But he's such a good performer. I can see him incorporating the way Lance does his opening bit with the manipulation. I can see Michael taking that road.
All right. Well, then let's take it from the four. If you could name only one that you could see, let's say by spring in 2011, opening up a Las Vegas show on the back of either placing in somewhere in the final five of America's Got Talent and opening up a Vegas show, who among those four?
Okay. With no disrespect to any of them, because I love all these guys.
Sure.
And again, they do a great job. But fortunately and unfortunately, one person has got to be at the top.
Of course.
I would like to see Murray Sawchuk move forward.
Okay.
I would like to see Murray because he's different looking. He's again, excluding that they're all great guys.
Yes, of course.
He's the person who I could see, because look, Antonio, he's got a, to me, it's not so much a magic act as much as it is a great act that does things with fire that Murray can't do, nor any of the other guys can do. Dan, you know, but that fire thing has got a very niche market.
Yes. Okay?
Murray is so so I think broad and appeal that if I were a producer and I were to put money in someone, I'd put all my money in Murray, because I could take Murray, who is a good guest. You know, I've seen him guest host on TV shows. I've seen him on Reno 911, one of my favorite shows. He can do so much more. And I think if you're an investor and you want to invest in an act that you can get the most money out of, my money would be on Murray Sawchuk, because I think he's got a broader appeal and I think more flexibility in where he can go with what he does. So that's where my dollar's on. And again, no disrespect to the other guys. They'll all make money doing what they do. But I think Murray can make money for himself as well as a person who backs him.
I'll tell you what, it is very, very, very insightful commentary from somebody who has some experience in the field and is always welcomed. But Joe, you have a few new products coming out yourself, right?
Yeah. You know, I didn't really want to, you know, I'm not a big promoter. If I were, I'd have 50 products on the market.
Sure.
I have two. And the impetus, the raison d'etre behind why I've got these two out is, number one, it's not money, because otherwise I would be selling it for a lot more money and promoting it a lot more. It's because I really want to see, look, I don't sell tricks. I sell time-tested routines.
Sure.
The three-card Joe I've been doing for, no joking, probably about 30 years, and I didn't feel it was worthy of even having anybody else do it. Until about the last 10 or 15 years, when people have asked me if they can do it on stage. And when I re-looked at three-card Joe, there's a ton of three-card Montys out there. There's a, you know, people say it's Skinner's Monty, which it's absolutely not.
Yeah.
You know, Skinner's Monty, the cards are different. The ace and the two are gimmicked. The ace and three are gimmicked, not the ace and two. The person who originally came out with the mispipped cards, it goes back to like, you know, 1900 or something. And was redone by Ken Brook in the 60s. Peter Pitt was a person that had the exact same cards. And with Peter Pitt, I learned a hell of a lot about that routine. And when I started developing it the way a great comic develops a comedy routine with a legitimate three-part delivery, three segments that build, and then it started coming to a point where I went, wow, this is a powerful routine. And it's worked. It's worked time and time again for the last 15 years, no fail. I wanted to be able to take anybody who's a close-up guy or a stage guy and just give them one legitimate 7 to 10 minute routine, turnkey. The cards were a bit expensive to make. They're beautiful cards. They're 11 by 17, which some people find way too big. And the 8 by 12 for anybody who could, you know, who's a close-up magician or whatever can use. So that first product, Three Card Joe, I really want people to realize they can do a stage act if they've never done a stage act before. And if this is the first seed in them showing that they can get up on stage and blow them away with something that packs flat and plays big, then that's Three Card Joe. The thumb tie, it goes in your pocket. I've been doing the straight jacket for years. Love it, but it's been overdone by me and many other performers.
Yeah.
The thumb tie, it's been done with rope, with twist ties from bread. It's been done with, you know, cotton. It's been done with this, that, wax, tape. I've seen it all, you know. And nobody that I have ever seen has done it with zip ties. And I started doing that probably in New York about 27 years ago. I've never seen it with zip ties. Yeah, a person or two said, oh, I've done it, you know, after that. But I've never seen it before that. But that's not the point. The point is it's a legitimate stage routine that, for, you know, for the so inexpensive for a DVD, and you go out and get your own zip ties from Home Depot, you've got a 7 to 10 minute routine on stage that kills. It's a bargain. It's another turnkey effect. So these two effects are turnkey effects. I don't sell tricks.
Yeah.
You know, that's the bottom line. So for those who purchase it, God bless you. Thank you so much. I do appreciate it. And again, I'm not here to be this hard salesman. I'm so passionate about this business. I love magic, always have. Love magicians. You know, most magicians are great people. The rest of them are people who, you know, they're just, you know, they're carnival freaks. But for the ones who really want to do magic that impresses people, I always say, buy a routine that is turnkey and do it 50 times exactly as the person does it. And then, and only then, will you realize why it works. And then you change it to your own personality. And guess what? You're on stage, not me.
Very sage advice. Now, where can people pick up the routines that you just talked about?
3cardjoe.com, whether you spell out three or the number 3cardjoe.com, or go to thumbtie.com. I'm amazed I even got that domain. If you go to thumbtie.com and you purchase that, it's only $35. I pay for the shipping, always have. You buy that, you get a 20% discount off of 3cardjoe. And now you've got two powerful routines. You've got a solid 15 minutes up on stage. It's a bargain.
There we go. Can't complain about that. My guest, the always entertaining, sometimes vitriolic, Joe Monti. Thank you very, very much for coming on the Magic Week in Review.
Justin, thank you. And I'm sorry I had to be so serious on some levels during this. And I just want to say in closing on my side is, number one, I love what you do for this art of magic, because, you know, you're a guy who, when I met you in Florida,
yeah,
you know, you had a passion for being an exponent of magic, a goodwill ambassador of magic. And
sure,
you've never faltered from that. You know, you've always been a great supporter of all of us. And God, I you know, it's great to have people like you in the world. It really is.
Oh, stop it. Same to you, sir. Same to you. All right, folks, that about wraps it up for this week's edition of the Magic Week in Review. Remember, if you want to give us some feedback, it is show@itricks.com. Or if you want to follow every single story that iTricks pushes forward unto the world, you can sign up for our Twitter @iTricks. Until next week, I'm Justin Robert Young, editor of itricks.com, Justin R. Young on Twitter. Bang a gong.
itricks.com.